Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
Well, good morning, Church on the North Coast. Everyone here this morning, how you doing? Are you excited? Do you have anticipation that God's going to do something today for you? Not a whole lot of you do, but hopefully we can increase that by the time we end. If you're watching online, I want to welcome you as well. I'm Pastor Troy. I can't wait to share the word with you. I want to receive this morning's tithe and offering. And as the ushers come, I want to share a verse with you. This verse will become our anthem of the next 3 months. And we're going to talk about it some more here in a few minutes. But I want to share this verse with you. It's found in Joshua 2, verse 18. Joshua 2, verse 18. Did I give you the right verse? I got to make sure I gave you the right verse. Give me a second. I don't think I did. It's okay. I'm not worried. Don't you worry. Yes, it is verse 18. I'm sorry. I was right. I was right. Joshua 2, verse 18. Unless when you come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Joshua is given this command to come into the land of Jericho. And when he comes into the land of Jericho, he is to take with him a scarlet cord. And most of the time when we read this passage, or when we tell it in children's ministry, right? We talk about how God overtook Jericho and how Jericho fell at the hand of the invading Israel, the armies of Israel, and how they went in and they prevailed and they conquered and they infiltrated and they overtook. And then we mention a harlot by the name of Rahab in this story. But it's just in passing. It's just to get us past the point of letting us know that God, He overtook the evil city of Jericho. I present to you this morning that what God's heart was concerned with when He infiltrated the city of Jericho was not so much destruction and destroying, really not at all. God's heart was really to find Rahab. It was a search and rescue mission to find just one family. And as we receive the offering today, I want to awaken within you the burden of finding and rescuing those who live in our Jericho. Amen. Just one for your family, just one for my family. But I want to awaken inside of you this awareness that there is a Rahab that lives in the city of Lorraine. Yes. I was the Rahab from my generation. You were the Rahab from your generation. I'm wondering if there's any more Rahabs in our generations today. Are there any student Rahabs? Are there any Rahabs in your family that you name by name and you say, I'm going to infiltrate your community. I'm going to make my way. I'm going to search and I'm going to rescue you from the destruction of sin in this world. I'm going to find you. And when I go into the world, I'm not going to go alone. I'm going to take a scarlet cord with me. And this scarlet cord represents the blood of Jesus. And when I go, I'm gonna present the lifeblood of Christ to you. And I'm gonna let you know that you don't have to die. You can live. I'm gonna let you know that your sin is forgiven by the power of the cross. I'm gonna present the gospel to you, because wherever I go, I take the line of the scarlet cord with me. It's not a story. It's not a story about how God hates sin. It's a story about how God loves Rahab. God sent us. God's sending us. God's sending you into your Jericho. And so for the next 3 months, I'm receiving the offering today with this text to remind you that when you give, you're sending the scarlet cord to Rahab. When you give, this is what we give to. We give because we realize I've got some family members. I've got some that need rescued. I know you don't see them yet, but God sees them. God saw Rahab. God sees them. God knows. God knows, and so I'm saying, listen, God, I know you see them, Vernon, Johnny, Brian, Stacy, Kelly, Benji, Carol, Bill, Uncle John. I just name them out before the Lord, and I declare their name before heaven, and I say, God, rescue them. Make them the burden of my heart every day when I see them, God. Make them ever before me. Make them my rescue mission. And so as you give today, I want to awaken within you the rescue mission of heaven for Jericho, for this city, for your family, for your school students, for your college campuses. I want to awaken the burden for the lost at your work. Where you work, there's somebody like Rahab. And so this is what we give to. Because every one of us, nobody wants to admit this, but every one of us in this room is a Rahab. Everyone. They said, no, not me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was a Rahab. The stuff from my past. If you were to hear it today, you would blush. You would say, Troy, you need to get down off of there. Stop talking about God the way you do. But he's washed away my shame. He's taken away my sin. There's so much grace. There's so much grace. Amen. So I want to awaken the burden for the lost. And part of awakening the burden for the lost is our giving. Our giving not only of our finances, but of our time. Sacrificing, you know, our pride. Laying aside our agendas. I want to challenge you for the next 3 months, and we're going to get into this some more. But as we receive the offering today, I want to thank you for your faithful giving, those giving online. There are a whole bunch of ways you can give. There's envelopes there before you. There's push pay available. If you're watching online, you can go up to the tabs and you can scroll down. But I want to thank you for your faithful giving. God is meeting the need at Church on the North Coast. He's exceeding the need. He's exceeding the need. Lorraine, you are amazing. You are doing some amazing things. I pray that that your spirit is being refreshed and awakened, and that you are being inspired by some of the things you saw. How many were at the summit this last Sunday? Amen. Amen. Come on, give a great big hand to all those who participated and made it happen. You won't want to miss the next summit. You won't want to miss the next summit. And if you weren't able to be at the summit, as we receive the offering now, let's pray for it. Hold it up. Hold up your offering before the Lord. Let's pray for it. Father, we're so thankful for every gift and every giver today. We pray that you would bless them, that you would meet their need. We pray, God, that you would come in the middle of lack and that you would overflow. There would be a flood of your presence, your abundance in our situations. We bless you, God. We thank you, God, that shame is being washed away in this service today. We thank you that condemnation is being broken. Father, we thank you that wrong attitudes are being adjusted, God. We thank thank you that marriages are being restored, all because, God, we perpetuate the power of the gospel in our lives and in our communities and our families. Thank you for the opportunity to give in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. As you receive that offering, if you weren't able to be at the last summit, check this out. You'll want to be at the next one.
Expressed four different locations. God only knows what he has in store for us in the future. Who knows? But you're a very real part of that, and I think we ought to give each other's location a big hand of God bless you. So looking back is a good thing, and appreciating all that God has done is even better. Because God has met us in the past, and he will meet us again. God has forgiven us in the past, and he will forgive us again. And God has met every need that we have ever had, and he will meet every need again.
So thank you from the bottom of my heart as a representation for your staff that works for you every single day, your pastors that pray on your behalf, that visit you in the hospital, that come to you with your greatest need. Thank you. Thank you.
This Guide Summit is an invitation to you, our partners in serving in the kingdom of God, to join us to create a culture that is comfortable, filled with powerful people who serve and love one another and work really hard for Jesus.
I ask you tonight to develop a burden for your lost loved ones right now tonight, that God would purpose inside of you, that he would create, that he would conceive inside of you a deep burden for those who are lost who don't know Jesus.
Church on the North Coast, I want to present to you, in the second quarter of the year 2017, the Red Cord Project. The Red Cord Project is those who know telling those who don't. It's developing a burden in the next 3 months within our hearts to be responsible for our influence, the salvation of Christ, the privilege of knowing him. It's developing a burden within each one of us, within our children, and within our community. We must let them know. We must. If you don't let them know, we then become responsible for the destruction that takes place in Jericho. Joshua 2:18 will become the anthem scripture of our hearts for the next 3 months. Next slide. This is a 3-month evangelistic campaign where we seek to awaken the burden for the lost within the heart of the found. Should we have to say that about ourselves, though? That we awaken the burden for the lost within the heart of the found. Using the text from Joshua 2:18 and Rahab as our example, we are asking our CNC family to infiltrate their communities with the scarlet cord, which represents the salvation of Jesus Christ. And invite them to join us for Easter week. We're going to call it Easter week. Now, if you've been around for a while, don't get offended. We'll still reference it as Resurrection Sunday here. But to our friends and families who don't know it any other way than Easter, we're going to call it Easter. So really, today, you when you walk through the door, you received this. Did you get one?
Yes.
Raise your hands if you didn't get one. Ushers, help me. Keep your hands raised. As well as a number of community events throughout the three-month campaign, our ultimate goal is to reveal the love of Christ to those who do not know. It's imperative that you get one of these, though. Because attached to the invitation, this is an invitation that you're going to take home with you. So how do we do it? Next slide. So how then do we do this? How do we awaken the burden within ourselves? How do we infiltrate our communities? How do we let them know? Today is our start date. Come on, guys. Raise your hand one more time. They're on their way now. Today is our start date. This postcard is your opportunity. This is your invitation. This is the tool that God's going to allow you to use to bring them and invite them. On the back of it, it simply states, we care and we've been praying for you. I'm going to ask you to do something, church. We've kind of gotten away from this, but I feel the burden. I feel the burden for the lost, and I feel like the nation is on the verge of a third great awakening. I feel like God is positioning specifically Northeast Ohio to be a huge part of what's taking place nationally with God's movement across this nation. And I want to ask you to pray and fast with me all the way up into Easter. That we begin to pray, that you begin to pray for the burden. Who is it that God wants you to give this to? Maybe there's a number of people, but this today is our first assignment. Take this invitation. Take the red cord. Take it off. Put it, I wrapped it around my wrist to remind me. I don't know. Maybe you want to put it in your Bible. Maybe you want to take it home. Put it in your windowsill in your kitchen. I don't know where you want to take it, but maybe you want to bind it like on the doorpost or something. But put it somewhere. Put it in your bathroom. Put it somewhere. Take it with you. Take it with you. Let it remind you of the Rahabs that exist in the world. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So take this. There's one more over here. Take this with you. Take this with you. And begin to pray and fast about who you're going to invite to our Easter service. And on Easter, on Resurrection Sunday, we're going to present the gospel in a powerful way that's going to touch your families and friends' hearts. And they're going to be born again into the beloved of God. Amen? Come on, you should put your hands together for the Lord. It's going to be great. So Resurrection Sunday is one way we're going to do it. Next slide. How many have been out walking in a park somewhere and you've noticed these little rocks everywhere? Have you seen them? Has anybody else seen these rocks? They have little inspirational words on them, little inspirational quotes on them. But, you know, when I was praying to the Lord, I said, God, how are we going to do this? He said, I want you to take 12 rocks. I want you to take 12 rocks from the story of Joshua 4. And I want you to paint those rocks red. And I want you to place on those rocks the Red Cord Project and just let them know God loves you. And I want you to take on the back and I want you to, you know, put the website to the Facebook and put a link back there so they can actually go and take a picture of that rock and they can go to our Facebook page. And suddenly something happens. They begin to notice these rocks. Well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to take 12 rocks for each campus. 12 rocks for each campus, and we're going to color them, and then we're going to give them out strategically to all of you. And you're going to take them into your community, and you're going to put them somewhere.
Yes.
And when people find them, they're going to take a picture, and they're going to put it on Facebook. And then they're going to take it or put it somewhere else, and somebody else is going to find it, and they're going to take a picture, and they're going to put it on Facebook. And then the next person is going to take a picture, and they're going to put it on Facebook. And before you know it, there's happening within our community this awakening. What is this Red Cord Project that I keep seeing everywhere? What is this Red Rock campaign that I keep seeing everywhere? That's one of the ways. Next slide. Each of our campuses are going to host each campus individually will host its own picnic. So we're going to call all of our, we're going to have a day. We're going to have a day where we all gather together and we infiltrate our communities and we invite them to our campus picnic. And at this campus picnic, we're going to present the gospel and we're going to offer another invitation for them to come and join us. But at this campus picnic, this is our mission. This is our search and rescue mission where we come together, we infiltrate our communities, we go door to door and we just let them know, we're having a huge picnic. Would you like to join us? We're going to give away some stuff. We're just going to give away a lot of stuff and you come and we're just going to cook hot dogs and hamburgers and you know, all that stuff. And we're just going to have a huge picnic for you, for our community. We pray that you would join us. And then when they come, we're going to present the gospel to them at our campus picnics. Next slide. Another way. Next slide. Another way we're going to infiltrate our community is with Spring Seed. I'm really excited about this. Spring Seed, you know, if you've been around for any length of time, you know what Spring Seed is. It's a time where we sacrificially give. We take a financial gift and we give it right around the springtime and attached to that gift, we attach our prayers and what we're believing God to resurrect and what we're believing God to bring new life to it. Well, you know, all of these things. But here's what God gave me. He said, Troy, I want you to have Spring Seed, and I want you to give the people the opportunity to sow, and I want you to give them the opportunity to sow more than just financially this time. I want you to give them the opportunity to sow naturally. So we're gonna go and we're gonna get a lot of, like, hopefully we're gonna get tulips, but we're doing the cost comparison. Tulips are kind of expensive. But here's what we're gonna do. Here's what we're gonna do. To everyone who says, I'm going to give in Spring Seed, we're going to give you a basket or a bushel of tulips, some seeds. We're going to give you some seeds. And you're going to take those seeds and strategically, you're going to infiltrate your community. And we're not going to tell you where to plant them. We're going to ask you to be creative. We're going to ask you to go, like, to the park. Plant them at the park. We're going to ask you to go plant maybe in your front yard. Maybe at a school. But if we all participate, imagine what will happen to our city. We'll be driving along and we'll look over and there'll be red tulips and red flowers. There'll be a sea of red flowers that will remind us of the burden for the Rahabs that we have. The burden for the lost in our city. And we won't be able to leave our houses without being reminded that there are those who are lost and who need the message of Christ. And they will serve as a reminder. And pretty soon, if we can plant tulips, check this out. If we can plant tulips, they'll come back next year. They'll come back again. They'll come back again. And they'll keep reminding us, pray for the lost. Don't lose your burden to let them know. Let them know. Wouldn't it be awesome to be driving down the road and suddenly just drive by a field of flowers that are red, that remind you? And then pretty soon the community begins to say, what is going on? Everywhere I look, I see red rocks, I see red flowers, I see this red cord, I see red cords everywhere. I see what is happening to our community. Next slide. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to do a community canvas campaign. Just before our picnics and stuff, we're going to go out and we're going to canvas our communities. This is something that we used to do a long time ago. And somebody else said, listen, as we go, we should draw a bloodline. We should march around our communities. And we should plant ourselves as prayers when we walk around our communities. I said, that's a great idea. That's what we're going to do. And so we're going to infiltrate our communities. And as we go, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the lost. And we're going to go door to door. And as we knock on that door of that house, we're going to declare the lifeblood of Jesus. We're going to declare the Red Cord Project over that house. We're going to declare that they are found and not lost, that they know the Lord Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Amen? Amen. So we're going to let them know that we care and that we're praying for them. And so that's what's taking place in the next 3 months. That is the Red Cord Project. I pray that as we leave here today, that that would resonate with you, that as you go home, that you would begin to, you know, like and share the Red Cord Project. It's where we're going. It's the vision of the next 3 months. God's going to do something powerful. God gave me this vision. He said, Troy, I want to increase your reach in this city. In every one of the cities, I want to increase your reach from Church on the North. I said, what do you mean? He said, in order to achieve this, I need you to believe with me that I'm going to take your Sunday morning attendance to 100% increase. It's not about, he said, Troy, just be careful, because it's not about what's represented here. It's about what's represented here and how it affects out there. He said, Troy, I need you to believe with me, and I need you to begin to say it out loud and begin to challenge everyone. Say, listen, you've got to develop this burden for the lost. You've got to see an empty seat as an empty soul, as a perishing person, rather than just an absentee seat. Amen? Amen. So that's the Red Cord Project. Give a hand to the Lord today. Thank you. Thank you for participating, and we're believing that God's going to do some amazing things in the next 3 months with us. But for the next Guide Summit, you won't want to miss it. It's going to be powerful. And God, we just believe that, you know, those are big parties that we throw for all of our volunteers, and where we cast vision. We cast vision here at Church on the North Coast. I want to do something before I get started. If you have your Bible, you can go with me to, let's go, my computer's acting weird. Go with me to Luke 12. We're going to stay there for a second. But before I begin to minister, I met Jacob a while ago. But something powerful has happened to this young man. There's been a transformation in his life. I liken him to Perez. He's broke through some things. And as he's broken through, he's bringing his generation with him. But I believe there's an anointing that rests on his life to break the power of addiction. And everyone in this room is affected by it. Everyone is affected by it. Everyone's affected by the condemnation and the shame of it. Whether you're a family member of somebody, or maybe it is you who is struggling with addiction. And right now, I just want to declare, Teresa, the love of God over you is more compelling than the shame. There's so much grace, and I pray that in the next few moments, you'll begin to just receive the love of Christ that washes away your sin and takes away the remembrance of it. You ever do something and want to get removed from what you did because of the feeling of it? Yeah. And I feel like God supernaturally in this moment is about to take some of us and remove us from the occurrence. I feel like there's many of us here today who are haunted by it. I feel like more than anything, it's the one thing that keeps you from escaping into your destiny. And as Jacob comes now, he's going to pray. He's going to pray over addiction, and he's just going to, and I pray, and as he does, I just know that God's going to release, he's going to set free those who are held captive. Amen?
Praise God. It's an honor to be here. It's awesome. Honor Pastor Troy, who operates in the gift of the prophetic. God says he will never do a thing until he reveals his secrets to his prophets, his servants, the prophets, and that's, Troy is a prophet and a pastor. So this is a beautiful moment as I just feel the anointing come on me that that I want to release what God's given to me. It says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Yeah.
And what God has given us, the favor and anointing on our life, isn't for ourselves, it's for other people.
Yeah.
So let God move you to a place of influence to benefit the whole city. And what this new move of God is, it's getting out of the four walls. And I just, God gave me a couple of scriptures, and it was just, it said, Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are his hands and feet. We are the continuation of the Christ ministry to the world around us. Romans 4:17 says, as it was written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they already did. We need to start prophesying goodness over our families. We need to start prophesying goodness over our life, over our city. Yeah. We need to stop being such doom and gloom and meditating on the negativity of our cities and our nation. And we need to see the goodness of the Father and prophesy what needs to be done over our communities. When we speak, it goes into existence. It must happen. It must happen. He says, I've given you the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
He's given it to you. When Moses split the Red Sea, he said, you lift up the rod. You lift it up. And the last one he gave me was 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, as being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
It says you see the glory of the Lord and you reflect it. And he's awakening a generation to reflect his glory into the lost and the dying world. He's awakening us to reflect. And you see it first, though. We got to spend time in intimacy with the Father, and then we reflect it. So I just want to pray, and I want to give you, I am so blessed and honored to come here and to just give you this impartation. So if you could just open your hands and receive. And another thing God told me was to remind you guys to stir in remembrance the miracles that he's done in your life. So if you want to just start praying, praising him for the miracles he's done in your life, you have that same anointing to see them done in other people's lives. Start stirring in remembrance the same miracles he's done in your life, the same signs and wonders you've seen. Stir in remembrance. Stir in remembrance. Hope is a seedbed of faith. You gotta have hope. You gotta have vision. Without vision, my people perish. You gotta dream and learn to dream with God. Yeah. You gotta pray. You gotta ask him how to pray. We gotta pray with him. He wants to co-labor with us. So Father God, right now in Jesus' name, I release the same anointing on my life that you broke that heroin addiction right now. I release to each and every family member. I release the glory that you've set on my life right now in Jesus' name. I release it, God. Release it, supernatural grace right now. Supernatural grace on each and every brother and sister, that they will no longer, God, just see them as themselves, but they'll see them in the image that you see them, God. It's the Christ in them, the hope of glory. Yeah. The answer to Lorraine's addiction problem is the Christ in them, the hope of glory. Yeah. God, I pray right now, Lord, you just stir up your spirit in each and every one of them, God. I pray you release, God, that anointing that breaks the yoke. I pray for insights, God. I pray for wisdom to speak to those who they're struggling with addiction, God. I pray those who may be bound right now at the sound of my voice, the spirit of addiction, break. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Right now at the sound of my voice, who is struggling here, break off the spirit of addiction. Lord, let my anointing, God, that you've given me, rest upon them, Lord. Please, by your grace and mercy, just rest upon them right now. I thank you for setting me free. I thank you for your goodness. Every lust, every perversion that you set me free from, I thank you for it. You are good, Father.
Yes,
you are a good Father. There
good.
Is none like you. You are faithful and you are good, God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for your spirit, God. We thank you for your spirit, Lord.
Yes,
let them, let that seed of Christ grow and mature, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Jacob was set free from that stuff. You know, I always say, you know, you have authority for the stuff that you came through. You have a store. You have authority in that stuff. You came through that stuff. You can lock down the heavens. You can bind principalities and powers if it's yours. You know, it's like if you own it, you can operate it. If you own it, you can operate it, church. And I know that rests upon his life. He owns that thing on his life. And so I just declare that prophetically as he prayed, stuff was broken. Stuff was broken. Addiction broken. It's so evil, so demonic. And so we're just going to continue to believe that way. And thank you, Jacob, for coming and praying. I love you, brother. Luke 12. Go with me to Luke 12. A few more minutes and we could go eat some Denny's or whatever. Won't be long, said the preacher. One of the things I notice that I'm continually reminded of is this thing on people's lives when salvation comes. When salvation comes, there's a struggle. If we're honest, there's a struggle when we encounter the Lord. Because we feel salvation. How many felt salvation when you gave your heart to the Lord? You felt it in a powerful way. Yeah, you can give him a great big hand for that. You felt heaven awakened in you, didn't you? You felt heaven come alive. You felt destiny suddenly. It like a flower inside of you. You know, it's suddenly now the eternity was awakened in you. Lights turned on. You know, you're like, wow, like stuff never seemed so vibrant and stuff never seemed so clear. Like you have this moment of clarity, right? You had clarity. You gave your life to the Lord. And I remember like, man, everything makes sense right now. I felt like that one movie where he takes that drug and he's like, I'm living way out in front of myself and I'm seeing things happening. And I'm like, wow, I feel so alive. Once was dead, but now I'm alive. I feel alive. Like I could feel the life of Christ in me, and it quickened my mortal body. Doesn't it quicken you? It quickens your mortal body. Paul was not lying. It does that. It quickens your mortal body, turns the light on in darkness, and suddenly you're like, what just happened to me? But then this other thing happens. Because that doesn't last. Oh, okay. Well, here, listen. But that doesn't last. That emotion doesn't. You can't sustain that level of. And I'm a pretty passionate dude. I mean, I live up here on 10 most of the time. You know, like I get it. But even I cannot sustain that level of like, wow, right? So there's this thing that happens when we receive salvation, and then we begin to live out our salvation. And the struggle occurs when we try to figure out, God, what do you want me to do? Now that I turned on the lights, now that life makes all this sense, how do I make salvation make sense to my job? How do I make salvation make sense in Lorraine? How do I make salvation make sense with the rest of, like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? How am I supposed to now raise my children with this? How am I supposed to, you know, file my taxes with this? It changes everything. And what I see with most people, with myself even, is the struggle to say, God, what do you want me to do now? What is required of me now? Have you ever asked him that? God, what do you want from me now that I know all of this? Now that I have this incredible gift of life? It can be the most confusing thing
in the world, because there is conflict at every turn. You answer a phone call, there is conflict. You turn on the TV, you're like, the salvation in me is at conflict with what's being presented there. Disney releases a movie, you love Beauty and the Beast, but now suddenly the salvation in you is at conflict with what's being presented from Disney. Now suddenly, like the salvation, like Target decides they're going to make their women, okay, I should probably not say that. But you suddenly feel it, right? You feel it like there's an election, and now suddenly the salvation inside of you is at conflict with what's going on. God, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? How do I take what I got? How do I take this precious gift of life? It's the most amazing thing I've ever encountered that made so much sense then, but now it seems to convolute everything, and it seems to meddle in every area of my life. It seems to like not allow. It's I live with this thing inside of me, God, that wants to, but that doesn't. I'm so God, help me. What do you want from me? What do you require of me? You ever ask God that? Luke 12, verse 42, and the Lord said. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? It's hard for me to give them their portion of food in due season. Your portion of food, our portion of food in due season is not what we ate last night for dinner. Mm-mm. Our portion of food in due season is the bread of life, the bread called Christ. He is the portion of food that he wants to give us in its due season. And we should be looking for due seasons that were spoken. I'm looking for a due season in every moment that I encounter, my due season to receive the food that was promised to me. There are promises that have been given to you, and it's time to awaken your due season awareness request. Like, go, where are they, God? Where's the food promised to me in this due season? I have the bill's due. The check, they bring the check to you. It's time to pay the bill. God, I need some food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. I like that. I like the doing. He said, you'll be blessed if you do, not if you think about it. Not if you, but if you do it, you'll be blessed. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, now Jesus, like Jesus goes somewhere here. He gets all, it gets kind of hard here, so just hold on. Truly, I say to you, that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and to be drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour when he's not aware and will cut him in two, watch this, and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. Isn't that something? Jesus says, I will take your portion. I'll take your portion. If you won't be accountable, then I'll take your portion and I'll give it. I'll be the unbeliever today. And I'm going to give it to the unbeliever. Could we be seeing today the manifestation of this text, that God has taken what rightfully belongs to the believer because they were poor in stewarding it, because they did not make themselves accountable for it, that God would take what he gave the believer and take it from him and give it to the unbeliever. Could the gifts and the anointing and the talent God says, if you'll be a faithful and wise steward, if you'll be faithful and wise steward, I'm going to give you food in due season. But if you're not faithful and wise, I'm going to have to take what was yours and I'm going to give it to an unbeliever, somebody that doesn't even know me. And you look around and you say, how come the talent pool outside the church appears to be better than the talent pool inside the church? How come the teachings of Tony Robbins gather more crowds than the teachings of Dr. Kayaton? Oh. How come Gary Vaynerchuk can, and some of y'all don't even know who that is, but how come this dude can spill out just with as much passion as possible? How come he can draw crowds by the thousands upon thousands, but on Sunday morning, the Church of the Living God takes their children to basketball tournaments rather than the church? How come they draw the masses? Where are the masses on Sunday mornings that are drawn to? How come? Because God says, listen, I'm going to take what was, and I'm going to give it to, because I need you to mind your business. I need you to mind your business. Don't worry, it'll get better, I promise. Verse 47, that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. And we love to quote this next one. We love this one. For everyone to whom much is given from him, much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. And Jesus, he completes it and he says, I came to send fire on the earth, and oh, how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus said, to whom much has been given, much is required. And you've asked the question, we've all asked the question, God, what do you want from me? And I can hear Jesus, lean over heaven, whisper, Holy Spirit, whisper in your ear. I only want from you the stuff I already gave you. I only want you to be faithful with the stuff I already gave you. I'm not asking you to be faithful over stuff that you have no awareness of. But you do have a gift inside of you. You do have a talent inside of you. And so I'm not asking you for what you don't have. I'm just saying you'll know what's required of you by what's been given to you. You'll know what I want from you if you'll take stock of your cupboard and your refrigerator and see what's already in there. I'm not asking you what the grocery store has that you don't. I'm not asking you to have what Troy has or what Doug has. I'm asking you to be accountable and a good steward of what you know you got. What you know is already in there. That stuff, you know, that stuff you've been pretending like it's not a big deal. Maybe it's you singing, maybe it's you playing. I don't know what it is, but God's put, he said his gifts and callings, they're irrevocable. Meaning he's not changing his mind. If he gave it to you, he's required something from what he's given. And God's asking you, do you know what I've given you? Are you aware of the gifts that I've placed within you? Everyone in here breathing air has been bestowed upon them something. Jordan can draw and paint like nobody's business. He can get down. You want something illustrated? Put it in his mind. He'll make it come to life for you. And God said, I just want what I gave you. And if you'll give me, if you'll be accountable to what I gave you, I'll take you to the places you desire but aren't aware of. What's required of me, God? God, what do you want with me? Right? God, what do you want with me? I hear a lot of young people say that. I don't know what God wants with me. And I just look back and I say, what has God given you? Whom has God given you? Look at your parents. I think this is why God told. This is why it's in the Big Ten. He said, if you'll honor them, if you'll honor them. I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you what you think of them. Maybe they didn't do you no good your entire life. Huh? Maybe they wasn't there for you, gave you $0. Huh? Maybe that's the case. Maybe your mama raised you with zero help from your papa. Maybe that's the case. But I'm not asking you I'm not asking you how you feel about them. I'm asking you, what did you receive from them? What is it that's inside of you that you got from your daddy that you can't stand it? You just, can't stand. I'm preaching to some pain right now. I know I am. Because my daddy put some stuff in me, and he didn't do me no good. Didn't give me one birthday present. Didn't pay a zero penny in child support. Didn't help my mother none raising me. But when I got this, I got it. I said, but he put something in there. Or maybe I didn't like him for a season. But just because I was mad at him didn't mean he didn't put something in me. Didn't mean that I didn't inherit something. I got something. And so some of us need to look around and say, whom has God put in my life? What's my mom and dad gave me that I've been neglecting because I'm carrying some emotional baggage and I'm upset and I'm angry with them. But what have I got in my toolbox that I neglect to use because I'm bitter at my mom and I'm bitter at my dad and he didn't do this and he didn't do that and I make excuses. But in all the while I'm walking around with some powerful stuff on the inside of me. And God said, if you'll just honor your mom and your dad, I'll release the gifts of honor into your life. He said, if you give a cold cup of water to a prophet, you'll get a prophet's reward. A prophet's reward is the fulfillment of the revelation and the words spoken by the prophet. And God said, if you'll just honor them, if you'll just honor them, God will release the gifts of the honor that come through them. He'll awaken it in you in greater measure than it was on your daddy. He'll awaken it in you so much so that it'll feed your future. It'll feed your future. God spoke to the prophet. He said, Elijah, get up from this brook. It's dried up. There's nothing here. I want you to get up away from this brook and I want you to go find you a widow. What? What you say? Don't lose me. God, whoa, wait a minute. I don't think I heard you right, God. That just plain. I'm going to preach another 15 or 20 minutes. Don't you worry. Just pay it. Here, come here. Come, everybody, come here. Isn't it funny how God will send the widow the word? When the widow is dying. Some of y'all in here are on your last, my last leg. This is my last go around. I need a word to feed my future. I need God to send the prophet. Heralds the word of God. The word. I need the word. I need the word. I just need the word. I need a word from God. Because I'm out here gathering two sticks. And I got a little bit of flour. And I got a little bit of oil. But I feel like I'm going to die. I'm all alone. I feel like nobody cares. But she knew what she had. She knew what God gave her. She said, I know what's in my cupboard. I know what's in my refrigerator. He days. Got this stuff in my freezer. It's been there. I'm not kidding you, church. It's been there for 2 years. I think it came when we met Emily. I'm pretty sure that's the day it arrived. It's been in there for 2 years. I open the refrigerator. Y'all, some of y'all laughing because you got this thing. You open the refrigerator, you open the cupboard. You know, it's that can of beans that's been up there. Why don't y'all throw that away? Give that to the soup kitchen. Right? No, I'm going to need that one day. I'm going to need that one day. God's put some stuff in your cupboard that's been there for so long. It's been there for so long, y'all. Is it? You done got tired of looking at it. It's those little cubes, those little bullion cubes you keep way up at the top, way in the back. It's that ruined sofrito that you just leave there. You're like, that's so old. Y'all, I'll tell you where I came from. God's telling you, church, it's been in there for so long. You neglect it. There are way more. You're my son. He does these things called struggle meals. I shared this a couple weeks ago. And I said, Jeremiah, why do you do that? Why do you get online and show everybody my empty cupboards and my empty refrigerator? Or my bullion cubes? Or my jar of mayonnaise? Jeremiah, why do you do that? He said, because struggle meals are not about what you don't have. It's about making a meal with what you do have. And God's looking to do something with what He gave you. God's looking to reawaken inside of you the awareness of the gifts that He placed in you. And Elijah comes to the widow and says, need you to make me a cake because I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. I just came from a place of famine. He had to know that he came to another place of famine. But Elijah had something. Elijah knew that the word of God would not fail him. And so he knew that if he just got to where God said to go, that whatever was there, God would use to feed him with it. God would use it. And there's some of you in here that say, Adam, I'm afraid to go there. God said, if you'll just get up and go there to where I called you to go, I'm going to feed you miraculously from that place. But I just need you to get up and go. I know it doesn't look like it makes sense. I know it just doesn't seem logical. But if you just get and go find you a widow, I'm going to cause what that widow has to feed not only you, but that widow. And it's going to turn into a non-ending supply. Truth is, there's a lot of people out there doing a whole lot more with a whole lot less than what's in your cupboard. And the reason they are is because they know what's in their refrigerator. I want to ask you today, as we close, what you got? What you got? Come on. You're going to have to be honest with yourself. What do you have? I didn't ask you what you wanted to have. Elijah didn't ask her what she wanted. Elijah said, what you got is sufficient. What you have is sufficient. And we get so busy chasing after what we don't have that we're allowing what we do have to go bad. But I got news for you. Nothing spoils in the kingdom of God. It never goes bad. Unlike that sofrito in your refrigerator. Unlike that chicken that's three weeks old, that's hidden in the back. Nothing goes bad in the kingdom of God. If God put it there, God's waiting on it. And even if it doesn't look like it's any good, God will make it good. You have a God, God will make it good in your life. What you got? Come on, stand on your feet with me. What do you have today, church? I want to pray for your bin of flour in your jar of oil. Because it was said of the widow that when she went upon the word of the Lord, when she went and made one cake, she got the whole factory. She just made one cake and she got Pillsbury factory. She got a whole factory. And I prophesied that over you today, church on the North Coast, those watching, those listening to this podcast, that God says to you, if you'll just give me what you got, just give me what you got. I'm not asking for what you, stop telling me what you don't got. Stop telling the generation what they don't have. Stop telling millennials what's wrong with them. Start prophesying over them what they got. I declare you got the good. I declare greater work shall you do than your father has done. I declare it over a generation. You got the anointing. You got the power of the Holy Spirit to break the back of addiction over this city. You've got the power. What you got? I declare over everything in the back of your spirit, every spiritual gift that you placed on the back, that you push way in the back of you, everything that you pushed down and said, no, I'm not going to release it. I pray it now. I declare it now. A manifestation. I pray it now to be pushed forward in your life, to reveal itself powerfully over you. I declare an exponential release. I declare this bin of flour, this jar of oil shall never run dry. I declare there's going to be a release of God in your life that's going to be supernatural for your generation. There's voices in here that are yet to be heard. There are musicians in here that are sitting in silence. There are prophetic powers in here that can lock up the heavens, that can release the rain of God's glory on the earth. There are mothers and fathers in here. Oh, mothers and fathers, you don't see it. You don't see it. But if you just begin to mother and father, suddenly there will be a release of children in the earth. A release of children in the earth. The hearts of the fathers would turn to their children, and the children's heart would turn to their father. She said, I got two sticks. I got two of them. I'm going to take these two sticks and I'm going to go start a fire. I'm going to go start a fire and I'm going to bake this cake on that fire. The Spirit of the Lord would say, take the two sticks. Go start yourself a fire at the altar of the Lord. Go start yourself a fire at the altar of the Lord. Run to the cross of Christ. Start a fire on the inside of you and bake some cake. Start making cake, but you can't make cake from anywhere other than the place of fire. Fire is what is produced. Fire makes cake. Come on, we declare it today. Let fire fall. Oh God, you declare that you desire to send fire on the earth, and that you desire, you wish that it was already kindled. We declare. here today, we run to the cross of Christ now. We come to the cross and we say, God, let us burn. Let us burn with the fire of the Lord. God, take what's inside of us. Take every gift. Take every calling. Take everything that you put in us and now begin to make a cake with it. Begin to feed this world with it. God, begin to feed my future with the cakes that you gave me. I bless you today. I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, that you are faithful. That you are faithful. Come on, lift your hand. He is faithful. Come on. Sing, Abby. Sing. God, you are faithful. Surrender. There has to be a surrender before there's a supernatural release of what you have. There has to be a surrendering of it. And it can't be halfway, church. You can't give them the flour and not the oil. If I had time, I'd talk about the flour and the oil. But you can't give them one and not the other. If God's going to do something, it's going to require that you give him the flour, the oil, and you set yourself on fire. If you're looking for a third grade awakening, if you're looking for an answer to prayer, there's going to have to be this release where you surrender all, that you lift your voice, that you play with everything inside of you, that you let go of every inhibition, that you let go of every fear, that you let go of the intimidation of you and them, and you suddenly just go, God, it's not for you, nobody. It's all about you. It's not about them. Take what I got now, God. I give it to you. Take my life. I set it on fire at the altar of the Lord. Come on, altar ministers are going to come now. Altar ministers, quickly. NCSSM students, elders, student ministers, come now. And here's what I want you to do. If you know for a fact that you've been sitting on some stuff that God gave you, I don't care what age you are either. This is not just for young people. There are some elders in here that have been sitting on gifts. There are some of you in here that are seasoned in the Lord. And God's telling you now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time to release your life unto God. God is declaring it now. He's saying, now is the time. Come on. Now is the time. And if you know you've been sitting on it, if you know you've pushed, if you know that you've taken the gifts and the calling of God, and you've pushed them back in your spirit, and you've been hiding them, God's saying, now's the time. I want you to come forward, and I want you to let everyone know that from this day forward, you're never going to be the same. You're never going to be the same. If you've never given your life to Christ, what are you waiting for? God said, if you'll give me your life, I'll give you the factory. I'll give you the farm, but you got to give me your life first. Come on, right now, all over this place, look at your neighbor. Ask them if they'd like to come forward. Come on. Listen to your neighbor. Come now. That gift inside of you must be released. Young people, that gift inside of you, it has to be released to your generation. We release it now. We release it now. Father, we thank you. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. That there's no perishing of the Lord's work on our life. That God, what you spoke, you promised you would do. We declare it in Jesus' name. Let it manifest. Let it manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Pastor Mary, Pastor Mary's gonna come. Give her a great big hand as she comes. Would you do that? Thank you. God bless you.
What an amazing word, an amazing Sunday. Do we feel that fire inside of us? I believe this week as we take these cards back and we take these cords and we lay them in our Bible and we take them to our prayer altar, I believe that each one of us are going to receive that person that we need to begin praying for. You know, when I, even if the people annoy you or they've done something wrong to you, whenever we give that person to God, whenever we bring them before the altar of the Lord, and we honestly and sincerely just pray for them, just pray that the love of God would cover them, and you will see this prophetic unction build up in your heart, and you'll start knowing how to pray for them specifically. You'll start, God, the Holy Spirit will give you insight in what to say to them and how to invite them and how to build relationship with them. He's a sincere God. He's sincere. He will work with you to get right to their heart. And he'll open up these windows and these doors to heaven so that you can see what they need from you. You can see the kind of conversation they need to have so that it will be a sincere invitation to what God wants to do in their life. So I just want to encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit who you are to pray for, who you are to just bring before the Lord for this Red Cord Project, and that get them here to the house of God and minister to them one-on-one. It's a miracle. He uses us. He uses us even in prayer. So God, right now, we just close this service today. And we thank you, Father, that as we open our hearts and our minds to hearing your voice and who you have assigned us to, God, this Red Cord Project isn't just a campaign, God, but you've given us, each of us, an assignment, God. A Rahab that we are to go to. Father, we are to pray for, God. We are to listen to your voice, for your instruction, for your prophetic voice over their life, God. That generational curses would be broken in their life. God, that their ears would be open and their heart would be open to the salvation message. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in us, through us, God, these next 3 months. You said it, Jesus. The harvest is great. The harvest is great, and we will go out and get your harvest. We thank you for who you are and how you love us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Well, if you need prayer, don't leave until you come and pray with someone up here. But give someone a hug this morning before you go, and we'll see you next week.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.